Well, welcome back, ladies. In this segment, we do our Bible study, and here we are with our teacher, Beth Seifert, who is going to teach us in the book of Romans. Thank you, Beth.
It's good to be here, Amy. Well, today, ladies, fasten your seatbelts, because Paul's not going to mince his words today. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans. We're going to be in chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who, by their unrighteousness, suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Okay, Paul isn't mincing words here. There's no punches pulled. God's wrath, it's real. It's very real, and it's very frightening. And it's being revealed against all the godlessness and wickedness of the people who, by their own corrupt nature, suppress the truth. That one sentence is full of two big implications. First of all, they know there is absolute truth. And second of all, they even know what the truth is, but they deny it and try to keep the truth from coming to light. Verses 19 and 20 are so important. God's invisible qualities have been clearly seen since the creation of the world. All are without excuse. This is a huge deal, ladies. For since the creation of the world, since the first day of the creation, God's invisible qualities have been seen in the creation. His external power is clearly shown. The world was created in order, not in chaos, not haphazardly, but a symbiotic nature as well, where the world works together to keep going. That took power, and it also took more intelligence to see and predict and create all the interactions necessary all the way through than all mankind has combined. His divinity, his omniscience is clearly shown, not to mention his wondrous creativity. No one has any excuse to deny that there is a creator and that he is powerful and over the top out of this world smarter than all of us. God has made this plain, clear and plain. It's not coded or hidden. It's obvious. I need to stop here and look at this again. All men are without excuse. All men. Here's what I know. God's word is truth. It does not lie. When God says that he has made himself plainly known to all men, his word is trustworthy. And there is no one who seeks God on his or her own. It is God who draws them to himself. We'll see that more in Romans chapter 3. If God is drawing someone from the furthest corner of the globe to him, don't you think he's capable of providing the gospel for them? Of course he is. However, when you come upon the angry atheist who vehemently denies the existence of God, remind yourself of this passage in Scripture. They can deny the truth of this all they want to, but they clearly do know that God exists, and they've suppressed that truth. They are without excuse. God tells us that. And that's a horrifying place to be, knowing what the end looks like for those who are not with Christ. This is not opinion. This is the word of God, and if God tells us that they've suppressed the truth, we know that to be true. Many of the most remarkable scientists of our world were Christians who were looking for the patterns of God in nature and found so much more. Look at Sir Isaac Newton and his deep belief in God and his conviction that scientific investigation leads to a greater knowledge of God. Newton's work led to the subsequent laws of physics. Laws, I might add, not theories. Newton also developed calculus, a then revolutionary form of math. Or what about Blaise Pascal, who tried to make his work in math of use to mankind, and subsequently in his experiments with atmospheric and hydraulic pressure, he invented the syringe, not to mention how his work has affected meteorology. Pascal also believed in the historical accuracy of the Genesis account and in salvation through Christ, through faith in Christ alone. Or we could add Louis Pasteur and his work which led to pasteurization, the process of gently heating food to kill the organisms that Louis couldn't even see, to keep food from spoiling. Pasteur also wanted to put the use of science to the benefit of the people. He worked tirelessly, even after his partial paralysis from several strokes, and he saw the evidence of wisdom and design in nature, not randomness and chaos. He's quoted as saying, "The more I study nature, the more I stand amazed at the work of the Creator." These men and many others, Charles Babbage, father of the computer, Johannes Kepler, who studied the motion of the planets, knowing there was an order to it because it had been designed by an intelligent creator, John Ray, founder of biology, Sir William Herschel, founder of modern stellar astronomy, Joseph Lister, father of modern surgery. All of those men saw no conflict between faith and science. Indeed, their faith in most cases was what drove them to look for the connections they found. Why? Because they were looking for order and reason, knowing that the Creator of the universe had created all things, great and small, and far from denying God's invisible qualities, they saw how all that they learned and discovered pointed to those invisible qualities. At the very basic level, the patterns in nature of plants and animals who are perfectly suited for their environments are evident. Even science doesn't dispute that. However, today science argues that all that order just happened, denying what they know to be true. This couldn't have been a coincidence. It can't have just happened. There are too many microscopic details that all have to work perfectly for us to even exist. Instead of honoring God for his creation, men seek to gather all the glory for themselves. They don't thank him for how fearfully and wonderfully he has made everything. Instead, from the beginning, their thinking has become pointless. Their foolish hearts are darkened. They wanted the glory for themselves, and that's what they sought after. They claim to be wise, to be educated, to be learned, but by denying what is so evident, they are showing themselves to be fools. They worship the creation as if it had power over its creator. The words that Paul uses here break my heart. Imagine the glory of the immortal, all-powerful, sovereign God. Just imagine it. Stop and imagine his glory, what that looks like, what it sounds like and feels like. Remember, his glory was such that no one could look upon him and live. Moses saw just a glimpse of the back of God, and his face shone so brightly that the people couldn't look at him. He quite seriously had to put a bag over his head so the people could look at him. Okay, it wasn't a bag, it was a veil, but picture it. Now imagine a falcon, a beautiful bird. It's cool, and it flies, which is also pretty cool. It lives in a tree, which is sort of cool. But that falcon does not compare to the glory of the immortal God at all. Yet instead of worshiping God, they worship the bird. They built pretty statues of the bird. They gave offerings to the bird. Look back at verse 18 where it tells us that what is to come for all those who worship the creation and not the creator. The wrath of God is being revealed against these people who suppress the truth and put forth their own gods to worship. Ladies, while animal worship may not be all the rage in the United States today, we still supplant God and worship creation instead of the Creator. Every time that we choose something over Him, every time that we decide to watch TV instead of reading His Word, we are showing what is important to us. We are showing what we worship. With all the technology that is available to us today, we worship the technology over our God. Seriously, ask yourself this question. How much time did I spend yesterday plugged in? How much time was I on the internet? How much time was I on Facebook, Google+, Twitter, Pinterest? Now ask yourself this. How much time did I give my family my undivided attention yesterday? Now, stay-at-home moms, this is a question especially for you. If your children are home with you, how much real interaction did you have with them? Don't misunderstand me. I am a stay-at-home mom and a homeschooling mom. I understand that there's no way you can feasibly give your children 100% of your attention all day, every day. They'd never eat, no laundry would ever get done, and you'd lose your sanity. I get that. But are you going through the motions? Or are you spending focused time with your children? One last question. How much time did you give to God yesterday? Did you even open his word? Did you even look at it? Did you spend time with him in prayer? Did you talk about him with your friends? Remember yesterday how we saw that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel? Ladies, ask yourselves, are you suppressing the truth or sharing it? Where we spend our time shows where our hearts are and what we worship. Don't get me wrong, the internet isn't bad in itself. It's a tool, and it can be used for his glory in amazing ways. But when the tool becomes the focus, instead of keeping the tool as a tool for his glory, our thinking has become pointless. We are without excuse. We know who created us. We know his power. When will we remember that his wrath is being revealed against the ungodly and those who suppress the truth? When will we stop treating him like an afterthought and start worshiping him?
Well, thank you so much, Beth. And remember, ladies, all of the notes and these 10-minute podcasts can be found at naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab. We will take a break and be right back to talk more about today's lesson.